as you open your hearts to receive the word of God, let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. And so if you want to hold up your Bibles, I want to make our proclamation. We make it every week. This is what we say. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm starting a series today entitled, Who's Your Nineveh? Now, Nineveh's not a who, but Nineveh's a place. It's a what instead. But remember, in the city called Nineveh were a people. And so I'm asking you this morning, who's your Nineveh? Who's your person? Who's your group of people that God has called you to go to and to join him in reaching them for him? Amen? So we all have a Nineveh. I'll be preaching the next 3 weeks through the book of Jonah. And this week will be, the title this week will be Called by God. Next week will be Drawn by God, not in the Pictionary sense of drawing, but in drawing, God calling us, wooing us, bringing us closer. And then the third week, October 16th, will be Used by God. How many of you know that God wants to use you? How many of you heard of the book of Jonah or the story of Jonah? Anybody know the story of Jonah? So let me ask you, just as a church, just shout out to me if you would. What do you know about the story of Jonah? The whale. The whale, the fish, right? God, you know, it's so funny. We read the story of Jonah, we miss the point of the whole story because of the fish, whale, whatever you want to call it. Now, I don't want to just tell you right up front, we're not going to focus at all on the fish. We are going to talk about the fish, obviously, he's part of the story. But he's not the point of the story. The point of the story is Jonah and the people of Nineveh. And we're going to talk about that dynamic. And we're going to see how, as we read and as we study Jonah, how it almost makes us start to look back at ourselves and start to see ourselves in the story. Because we, like Jonah, probably do some things like he did. Now, I want you to understand this thing about the fish. We're not going to dismiss the fish. You know, there are some theologians that say that the story of Jonah was an allegory. It's a depiction. It's an idea of a way to demonstrate God's call on a man's life simply in an audacious story setting like Jonah. But I believe that, honestly, if you diminish the fish, you diminish anything in the Bible, what you do is you then kill the credibility of the entire Bible. And I don't think that you can look at the fish story in Jonah and say, oh, this is just a good story. It's just a story that God used to get our attention. No, I want you to understand it's way bigger than that. And again, if you begin to doubt the fish story, what else do you doubt? I'm of the belief that I believe all the scripture. Anybody else in that camp? I believe all, from in the beginning to come Lord Jesus and everything in between. You know, there are some people in denominations all over the world that have the same Bible we have, same words that we have, and yet they read certain parts of it and they don't agree with it. And so what they do is they just turn the page. We call those Passover scriptures. They pass over them. I don't understand them. I don't agree with them. So we'll turn the page and move on to the next page. We don't do that here at New Beginnings. We believe all of the Bible, amen, including the story of Jonah and the fish. Yes. Let's take a look at the story. Turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. This is what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, the first eight words of the book, the first eight words of the first sentence give us a hint as to who Jonah was and why he has a book of the Bible. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's the first eight words. In the Bible, we see these same words or very similar words in several other books called prophetic books of the Old Testament, okay? And so in the very next book, actually, if you have a paper Bible with you or even in an electronic version, if you just skip ahead a couple of pages to the next book of the Bible, you'll be in the book of Micah. And the book of Micah starts out very similarly, is what it says. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth, okay? And then if you go to the book of Zephaniah, another prophet in the Old Testament, this is how his book starts. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah. Here are a couple of examples, right, of this particular calling and gifting. So the calling and gifting I'm talking about is the calling and gifting of prophecy or being a prophet. And so here we see that Jonah was a prophet. So was Micah and Zephaniah and many others in the Old Testament. These men and many others were called by God and gifted by God to prophesy to his people. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is just simply God speaking to a man, speaking to a woman, and then that person going to God's people and telling them what God said. And it's very, very simple. It's not complicated. It's just that God said this to me, and I want to tell you this. All right? Just that simple. And so in every other prophetic writing of the Bible, we see where God gives a man, the word of the Lord came to Micah, and then Micah then begins to speak to the people in the first chapter of Micah chapter 1. In Zephaniah, the same way. This is the word of the Lord that was given to Zephaniah, and Zephaniah begins to speak the word of the Lord that came to Isaiah or to Jeremiah or whoever it was in the Old Testament, and they began to speak the words to God's people. As a matter of fact, there are about 100 instances in the Old Testament where God speaks to a man, and then he goes immediately to speak to God's people what God has spoken to him, except in the book of Jonah. Jonah is the only prophetic book of the Bible that we read where the prophet doesn't go and give the people a word. Here are a few words that at best describe the man Jonah to you as I've studied him, as I've now begin to dig into his life and see what he's all about. Here are some words. He's proud, stubborn, disobedient, unfaithful. He was a grumbler, a bad-tempered, cantankerous old curmudgeon. Rough around the edges. And yet his name means dove. Now, the dove or the symbol of a dove is used throughout the Bible as a messenger. And so here's Jonah is literally named messenger, named dove, and yet he resists doing what God's called him to do. If you go look at the story of Noah, when Noah's on the ark and Noah's floating above the face of the earth for all those days, what does he do after the water starts receding? He sends out a dove, and the dove brings back an olive branch, right? A symbol. It's a symbol of peace now upon the earth. Hey, the flood's gone. The calamity's over. Here's a symbol of peace. So the dove here in this instance is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol. It's a message that God is giving his people. And then, of course, we see in the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus after he comes up out of the water in the form of a dove. And so, again, God's message to the people who witnessed Jesus' baptism, hey, I'm with him. I'm in him. I've empowered him, anointed him. He's the one. Look at him, right? Now, Jonah's only other mention in the Bible is found in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Jonah goes to this wicked king by the name of Jeroboam the third, and he gives Jeroboam the third actually an encouraging word. You're going to conquer your enemies. And it's actually not a word from God. It was just Jonah's word to Jeroboam. And that word is later refuted by another prophet by the name of Amos. And if you go to Amos chapter 6, you'll see Amos refute the words of Jonah, and those words actually come true. So here we see this poor Jonah, this stubborn, old, cantankerous old man. He's not even very good at his job. He's called to be a prophet, but he's not good at it. The only time in the whole Bible we see him give a word, it's wrong. Look what he does next. Go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. This is what God says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. The city of Nineveh, the superpower of the day, the metropolis metropolitan city of the day, the largest known city in the known world at that time was Nineveh. The people were powerful. They were wicked. They were mean. They were nasty. And Nineveh, by the way, is in current day Syria, which is right there around Iran, Iraq. Syria's north of Iran and Iraq. And so you get the idea of the geography. And so it was known then as Assyria. And so in modern day Syria, it was a powerful city. It was a big city. It was a highly populated city. And here God tells this prophet, go and preach against. It'd be like God telling you, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Iran, go to the palace of the king, and you go in and tell him what you're doing is wicked. You're gonna be like, yeah, you know, I'm not really feeling that. I'm not really down with that idea, God. Maybe find somebody else. Maybe find somebody that even speaks the language. I don't speak the language. Jonah, go, let them know what they're doing is not good. I, God, am going to destroy them if they don't repent, if they don't turn from their ways. And we read in the story that Jonah doesn't take long. As we read the story of Jonah, that we begin to see ourselves in the story. We begin to see our own turning away from God as we read the story. We read it and we go, golly, Jonah, you're dumb. But I promise you, if you just search your heart, you'll see yourself in the story. Because here's the thing, we see God's heart toward people. Go to Nineveh. Go to the city. And by the way, the Ninevites and the Jewish people were enemies. They hated one another. There was a great difference between them. And here God is telling Jonah, this Jewish prophetic anointed and appointed guy, to go to his enemies and go preach so that they might get saved and might get right with me. Because you know why? Because I love people. You know that God calls us even today to go to people that we don't like. Even people that are different from us. They may not look like you and act like you and talk like you. Maybe have the same skin color as you. But we're called to go. Why? Because God loves, listen to me, all people. And since the beginning of time, we've seen and we've witnessed and we've been a part of God calling and us going, I'm good. I'm not interested. Find somebody else. I got something to do. I'm busy. Look at the next verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. So Jonah, God says, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it because his wickedness has come up before me. And this is what Jonah does. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, let me show you this map. And this is, hopefully you can see this. It's a little hard to see. But in this map is kind of where this all took place. And over on the right-hand side, you'll see a yellow dot with a pink arrow pointing to the right. That yellow dot, the first one on the border of the sea, is where Jonah would have been in Jerusalem. And where God's calling him to go is to Nineveh, about 600 miles away to Nineveh. Go preach again. I'm concerned, Jonah, I love these people. And I want you to go and preach to these people right here in Nineveh, just 600 miles away. And Jonah goes in the other direction. He goes down to Joppa, a port city right here on the Mediterranean, and he boards a ship and he sails all the way over there to the island of Tarshish, which is just on the other side of the Strait of Gibraltar, would have been near modern-day Portugal. At the time, let me help you wrap your head around this. This was the known world. So Jonah was literally running as far away as he physically could at that time in history. There's no farther. They didn't even know anything existed beyond Tarshish. I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'll get away from God. And he runs away. And then we read this. We have to ask ourselves the question, why? Why would the prophet, the man called by God to go and speak the words of God, run. And why would he run so far away? And if you study history, you'll know that the Israelites and the Assyrians hated one another, and there was a great hatred. So basically, I take from the story is that Jonah was prejudiced against the people of Nineveh. Now, I know that you and I in the current culture that we live in, we think of prejudice. There's a lot of prejudice that goes on in our society, in society as a whole. And we think of prejudice, usually it means someone who, it's hatred or dislike from one race to another, right? And so I don't like you because we're of a different race. Have you ever heard somebody say, I have friends who go, you know, I just hate Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady. Why? Because he's rich, got a beautiful wife, and he's got six Super Bowl trophies, and he's handsome, and he makes a lot of... He's a crybaby. You see, we don't even know Tom Brady. We don't even know Tom Brady, but we hate Tom. I hate Tom Brady. Like, I tell my friends, why do you hate Tom Brady? He's the greatest quarterback who ever played the game of football. I don't care what... His personal life is irrelevant. He's good. Hate Tom Brady. We hate people we don't know about. But listen to me, that's called prejudice. I have a prejudice, I have an opinion that I formed about somebody that I don't even know based on a lack of knowledge about the person. Anybody in here prejudice? Like six of y'all raise your hand, the rest of y'all ain't. I'm not raising my hand. I am not doing it. Here's, if you study the word prejudice, what it means. A preconceived opinion that's not based on reason or actual experience, prejudice against people from different backgrounds, dislike, hostility, unjust behavior deriving from unfounded opinions. Prejudice usually is derived from a lack of knowledge about the people you hate. So prejudice is just dislike for someone who may or may not be like you. We all have some prejudices about somebody. Instead of Jonah just going to Nineveh, he runs as far in the opposite direction as he possibly can to get away from God. But it happens in our lives too. Oh, we don't get on a ship and we don't run to Tarshish. We're not fleeing the other side of the world. But here's what we do. We turn to self and we turn to sin as we run away from God. And when you say, what do you mean turn to sin? Anything you do that's outside of the will of God is sin. Anything you do that you know is the wrong thing to do is sin. And when we decide we're going to do us other than do what God's called us to do, we sin. We don't physically run away. We spiritually run away. And this is what Peter tells us in the New Testament about being called by God, about being gifted and anointed for the use within the body of Christ. Look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you. Now he's talking to the church. He's saying, hey, church, each of you. Say, each of you.
Each of you.
That means every one of you that calls yourself a Christian, every one of you that calls yourself a follower of Jesus, each of you should use whatever gift you've been given or received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. And so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And here in the New Testament, we're reminded by Peter that we have gifts and we're gifted and we're to take care of, or the word steward just means to manage well or take care of what we've been given to take care of other people. I want you to know you have a gift and it's not for you. Isn't that a shame? You got a gift and you can't even use it for you. Why'd you give me the gift? Because you're going to use it to bless somebody else. How about that? We're going to use it to bless others. And here's the others. Those that may not be like you, or that maybe even you don't like. I don't want to go to them. I like these people. Can I just go to these people? Because these are my friends. I'll serve them because they're nice to me. Now, God may not want you to serve people that are nice to you. God may want you to serve people that will actually spit on you. Ain't nobody signing up for that. That sign up sheet's out there, by the way. Instead, God sends us to serve even those that are not like us at all, maybe even those that have developed, we've developed a prejudice towards. I have unlike or dislike for someone. I know nothing about it. I don't even know why. If I really boil it down, if I really question myself, if I really ask myself the question, why do I dislike them? I don't really have a valid reason, just because. Just don't like Tom Brady. He's rich. His wife's beautiful. I mean, dude's got it going on. Let's be real, right? I'm gonna have you liking Tom Brady before this sermon's over. I promise you. I don't believe that any of us would want our story written in such a way that at the end of our life they go, man, you know, he followed Jesus, but man, when God called him to go do this, he ran away. How many of you want your name in the story of Jonah? The word of the Lord came to Denise, but she ran away. No, you wouldn't want you. No, you wouldn't want. I wouldn't want my name in there, right? You wouldn't. No, I want you to say the word of the Lord came to Denise, and Denise ran towards God, and she began to fulfill the call of God in her life. That's what we want said about us at the end, right? Amen. I'm going to tell you two things this morning about God's calling that I want you to wrap your head around, want you to get into your heart, so that as we go through this sermon series, this is going to be a month where we kind of focus on missions. You know that there's a mission field out there, not in here, out there, out beyond these four walls that God's called every one of us to. Yes, yeah, some of us are called locally, and some of us are called regionally, and some of us are called globally. But you know what? The entire church is called to go and to take the good news of Jesus to the world around us. Number one, God's calling. Every believer has a calling. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called by God. Say it with me, say, I'm called. All right, look at 1 Peter 4:10. We just read it. Each of you, that means every one of you that calls yourself a follower of Jesus, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. And I know what you're thinking. You probably say, well, I don't have any gifts. Not true. God has gifted everyone. Everyone that follows him has a gift from God. It's there for his purposes. Now turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. Again, we're talking about gifting. We're talking about calling. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and each members do not all have the same function. Look at it as, so in Christ, those of us who are followers of Jesus, all of us who follow Jesus, though we are many, we form one body and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our gifts are all different, but the calling by God is to be the same. Surrender to him and for him and to be used by him. Here it is. Wherever and whenever he calls. Now go back to Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Here's my question. Where is God calling you to go, and what is God calling you to do? I don't know the answer to that question. Only you can know where God's called you and what God has called you to. So often people think of being called by God that that's my job. Oh, well, you're the pastor. Obviously, you're called by God. Yes, I was called 23 years ago to vocational ministry. Not all of us are called to quit their jobs, sell their businesses, and go into vocational ministry. And if that's you, I'd be glad to talk to you about it because it's quite a journey. But listen, most of us are just called to serve God right where we are, doing whatever it is. So if you own a garden center, then you're called to just serve God at the garden spot of Mandeville, right? If you're called as an attorney, right, Sheila, you're called to be God to your customers, your clients, and to the court system, if that's even possible. if that's possible. Whatever it is, that you're called to do, wherever it is that you're doing it, God can use you right there to reach the people around you for him. You're called to use whatever gift. Say whatever gift. To serve God and his church. Now turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. Now here in John 15, we see Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's preparing them for his eventual upcoming departure. He's about to head back to heaven. And he's getting them ready for him to go. And this is what he says to them. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, let me stop for a second. I want you to notice every time you see the word you in this one verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed who?
You.
So that who? You might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Seven times or six times we notice the word you. I think this is about you. I'm pretty sure that Jesus, the Son of God, was speaking about you. He said, You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I called you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit on the earth. Take somebody with you. Tell somebody about me. Whatever you think God's calling, about God's calling, remember this, the words of John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you, appointed you so that you might go bear fruit. God's calling in each of us is really about him calling us to partner with him through the power of the Holy Spirit in us to go and reach the world around us. Partnership. That's why people say, why do you do partnership classes at New Beginnings and not membership? Because, you know, membership says, you know, like American Express says, membership has its privileges. There's no privileged here. We're all just partners in this thing called the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul told the church at Philippi, I thank God for your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. It's a partnership. It's us giving of ourselves to God, him working in us and through us, with the church around us to go out and do what God's called us to do. Amen? Every believer has a calling. Say this with me. Say, I'm called.
I'm called.
Number two, about your calling. Disobedience to the calling causes problems. How do we know? Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Then the Lord sent a great wind. I wasn't finished. Then the Lord, God sent, you messed me all up. Then the Lord God sent the great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They were pagan sailors, and they threw their cargo into the sea to try to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Jonah had developed such a hard heart towards God that he became apathetic to the call of God. Apathy just means that it's not even I don't care. It's like I'm not even concerned at all about the call of God anymore. I'm going to get on this ship. I'm headed to Tarshish. There's a beach there with my name on it. I know there's a piña colada waiting for me. I'm going to put my feet in the sand and I'm going to chill out there for the rest of my days, and I'm not worried about God or his call or anything else. I'm just going to go. Matter of fact, in the middle of the storm, I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. He's become apathetic to the call of God. We cannot become apathetic towards God's call on our lives that we literally shut him out completely because of his hard heart and apathy. Now these innocent sailors were going to pay a price that they didn't have to pay. There was no storm on the sea till Jonah got in the boat. When Jonah got in the boat, it said the storm came because Jonah was in the boat. God was saying, hey, I got to get your attention. Sometimes God's got to get our attention. See, and to make matters worse, not only was Jonah going to run away from God, and when it seemed that that plan wasn't going to work, now he was going to take his plan several steps further. He was going to go to the extreme. He was going to ask these innocent pagan sailors to participate in his murder-suicide plot. You're going to murder me by throwing me overboard so that I can really get away from God altogether. I could just be dead. I don't have to worry about it now. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. See, they start to investigate, what's going on? Who did this? Why has this storm come upon us? And Jonah answers them, and he says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up. Throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. In other words, kill me. Throw me off the boat, and my life will be over. I won't have to worry about it anymore. The sea will be calm, and you'll be saved. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Listen to me. When we decide we're going to run away from God, sometimes you send a storm on the people around you. Look at verse 13. Instead, now the men are hearing this. Just throw us over. Now, if I was one of those sailors, I'd have probably said, you got to go, son. We need the storm. We need to see calm. My boat's about to break up, and I don't want to die today. But this is what they do. They go to their oars, and they start rowing. Let's try to row against the storm. And they don't get anywhere. Look what it says. The men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Can you imagine the scene? The sea is raging. The waves are high. The wind is blowing. It's dark. It's scary outside. And they cry out to God, please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please. Even the pagan sailors know the storm is Jonah's fault. And they know he was running from God. And then they began to repent. And they start praying to the God of heaven, not their pagan gods anymore. Here, these pagan sailors in the midst of the storm, because Jonah was there, they start praying to God themselves. And as they throw him over, the sea gets calm. We have to remember in our rebellion and running away from God, it causes problems for the people around us. I know we think, we go, this isn't going to hurt anybody but me. This is about my calling. I'm not doing what God's called me to do. I want you to know when you don't do what God's called you to do, you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt other people. In this case, he was hurting the sailors on the ship. But think about this with me. There was a city called Nineveh that was waiting for the word of the Lord to come to them, but the word of the Lord was never going to come to them if Jonah was at the bottom of the sea. And God's heart was to save the people of Nineveh. God's heart is to save the people of Covington. God's heart is to save the people of Mandeville and Madisonville and Abita Springs, but he can't do it if you just say, throw me in the water and let me die. You see, disobedient followers of God cause harm to themselves and the world around them. Disobedience to the calling causes problems. Would you stand with me? Two things you need to know about God's calling. Every believer has a calling, and disobedience to the calling causes problems. Today, we're going to make a commitment. I know that there are people here today that you walk with God. I've been walking with God for a long time, Pastor Eddie, and I walk with God. Me and the big man upstairs, we're tight. His name ain't the big man upstairs. His name's Jesus, and we're tight. What does tight mean to you? Tight to me means I'm surrendered to the will of God for my life. Tight doesn't mean I come to church every now and again. If we want to go from our definition of we're tight to his definition of we're really tight, means that I'm now going to be surrendered to your call, to your way, to your will. If that's you, you say, I'm tired of doing it myself. I'm tired of doing it my way. And you're ready to do it his way. I want to invite you to the altar this morning. And I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment over you. But I'm telling you, don't get out of your seat if you're not willing to pray a prayer of commitment, because we're going to commit, and we're going to commit before people, we're going to commit before God, that we're going to do it his way. Here's how you do it. Surrender's like this. The universal sign of surrender is hands raised. Heavenly Father, hands are raised all over the sanctuary today. And in response to your voice, in response to your way, in response to your will, we're not doing it the same old way. We're not doing it our way any longer. But instead, Jesus, we're going to do it your way, whatever that looks like, wherever that looks like. We're going to quit trying to figure it out in our own strength and start letting and allowing you to lead. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we give ourselves wholeheartedly to you today and say, have your way in us and have your way through us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We will see you next week.